Welcome to episode 53's Industrial Roundup. My name is Tim Nagle, Manager of Workplace Relations Services here at VHIA. In terms of those agreements that are currently in the bargaining stage, the doctors' access period will commence on the 7th of March, and the ballot will occur between the 15th of March and the 23rd of March. The maintenance agreement, there'll be a meeting with the relevant unions in a couple of weeks to determine when the ballot occurs, and employees will be notified at that time. In terms of the dentists and dental therapists, the discussions have been positive and we expect that they will come to a resolution very shortly. In terms of the biomedical engineers, those discussions are going to commence in the next couple of weeks and progress from there. In terms of those agreements at the implementation stage, the medical scientist is in the process of being implemented. The EBA forum occurred on the 28th of February and members are reminded that the session was recorded and posted both on our app and our website. In terms of those agreements that are currently in the review stage, the health professionals, nursing and health and allied and mental health will fall into that category. Just a reminder that our regional forums are occurring at the moment, with the Gippsland Forum on the 8th of March and the Barwon Forum on the 9th of March still to go, and members are encouraged to get along if they can. Thank you. Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with a particular subject. Here with me today is Emma Scott, Workplace Relations Consultant at VHIA. Welcome, Emma.
Thanks, Tim.
So, Emma, as you know, underneath the box will be a clue to today's topic.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to reveal the clue?
I can.
So for those listening instead of watching, Emma, could you describe what the clue items are?
It's a HP source bottle and a fixed term deposit note.
Yes, and solely based on those clues, what would you say today's topic was?
Well, I have had the HP source before, so I think it stands for health professionals.
Yes.
And the fixed term might mean it's something in relation to fixed term for health professionals.
Yes, that's actually quite the best guess I think we've had so far. So today we're talking about fixed term contracts for health professionals.
Okay.
So here we go. Historically, the fixed term clause in the health professionals agreement has been different to the other agreements.
Yes, it has. Most of the fixed term clauses in the public sector enterprises agreements have a clause about just ensuring fixed term arrangements are genuine fixed term arrangements. The health professionals clause went beyond that and had a number of additional restrictions.
And what were the additional restrictions?
So the additional restrictions were about the length of the fixed term. So for fixed term arrangements where they weren't as a result of parental leave replacement, you could only have an initial contract up to 1 year and extend it by a second year, so that's a total of 2 years. And then also for a leave replacement, a parental leave replacement, it could be an initial contract of 2 years. So really there was a cap on fixed term employment.
So it was quite restrictive, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So there's also been a clause about re-engagement within 13 weeks. What is that about?
So yeah, there's a clause about 13 weeks and being re-employed, including annual leave that's paid on termination. And what we believe that clause is intended to do is to ensure that where someone has had a break in service of 13 weeks between employment at the health service, that those 2 year restrictions still apply.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of almost like a mini allowable period of absence where the agreement still applies in those circumstances.
Yes, correct. Like what we describe it as an anti-avoidance clause.
So prevent people from using less than a 13 week period just to get around the fixed term provisions.
Correct.
So what happened if an employer breached the restrictions?
So the agreement prescribed that the employee would be deemed as having originally been employed as part-time or full-time, which is essentially saying that really they were an ongoing employee.
So it sounds quite complicated. Was there any changes or has that any of that changed in the 2016 agreement?
It has changed, but there are still a number of restrictions and it's still quite complicated.
How so?
Well, there's still several restrictions.
Yep.
In terms of what we tried to do in the bargaining was we tried to make a claim to keep the clause in line with the other general agreements, but it was something that we were unable to pursue because VAPA had a dislike towards fixed-term clauses and fixed-term contracts, and it basically we couldn't support that because of that reason. So we did get some flexibility, but there still are restrictions.
So there are some changes, and some of those changes benefit the employer. What are they?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. So first of all, an initial contract can be of 2 years length. So it doesn't have to be 1 year and then a first year. So it can be 2 years, as long as it's general and fixed term employment. And also there is a process for employers to be able to extend beyond the 2 year limit. There's still some restrictions around that. And in some cases it includes a notification process to the union. And then the only other one that's slight flexibility is that the union can agree to a longer term of 2 years, but it is subject to their discretion.
So in the previous agreement, it was quite difficult around parental leave, wasn't it? Which was often where the trouble was. So this
yes.
gets around that.
It does, yeah. It does.
So has the definition of genuine fixed term employment changed within the new agreement?
Yes, it has. The clause now lists an exhaustive list of reasons of when you can employ people on fixed term arrangements.
So the health professionals agreement has an exhaustive list?
Correct. The only additional part is that VAPA can agree to another reason at their discretion.
So what are those items listed as genuine fixed term arrangements in the agreement?
So first of all, they need to be for a specified period or purpose, and then they have to be for one of the reasons in the agreement, and also it mustn't be subject to recurrent funding.
So there's three things there, isn't it? It must be for a specified period or purpose, mm-hmm. that it must be for one of the specified reasons mm-hmm. in the agreement, and finally, it must not be the subject of recurrent funding. So in terms of those, what are the specified reasons in the agreement?
So there are a few. One is research projects, and the research project is defined under the agreement. There's also special projects, and there's some examples of what special projects are in there. Backfilling of an ongoing employee where they might be seconded to another position, and then also backfill for employees on like leave, work cover, or a flexible working arrangement. And then, as I mentioned before, a reason, if VAPA is given a reason by an employer and they think that that is general and fixed term employment, there is the ability for them to agree to other reasons.
So it's quite, even though it's an exhaustive list and it's an expanded list, cater for most circumstances.
Yes, it is. We, during the agreement process, consulted with the reference group to try and ensure that the list was reflective of all the current circumstances.
Sure. Early on you mentioned a process regarding extending a fixed term contract beyond the 2 years. What is that process?
So people can apply for an extension with an employee to go over that limit, and to do that they just need to make sure that it's still genuine fixed term and it's reasonable to keep on going onto a fixed term contract, and then also it can't extend beyond the 2 years, or the person can't have more than 5 fixed term contracts or be in fixed term employment for more than 5 years.
Okay, yeah. So what should an employer do if they want to extend a fixed term contract but it goes beyond the 2 year limit?
So there's a process to do that under the agreement. And so what employers have to do is not less than 1 month before the expiry of the contract, notify the employee and VAPA. And basically send them some information about the fixed term contract in line with the relevant subclauses in the agreement.
Okay, so there's a process to be followed in those circumstances, a
yes.
notification process really, isn't it?
Yes.
So what happens if a health service does not comply with that notification process within the agreement as you've outlined?
So if they don't comply at all, again, like the old agreement, the employee is deemed to be full-time or part-time basis, so ongoing. However, partial compliance can be okay. And where partial compliance is okay is where the notification still occurs, but the timing of it still allows VAPA or the employee to be able to talk to each other about it, seek advice on it, and make sure that they're satisfied that the extension is still genuine fixed term employment.
Okay. So does the same process apply when the employees apply for separate fixed term positions, but it doesn't result in going beyond 2 years?
No, so if it doesn't go beyond 2 years and or it's separate and distinct positions, there's no notification process to VAPA. Obviously, in terms of notification to an employee, you follow your general health service protocol.
And what happens once the notification process is completed?
So basically, VAPA or the employees have a chance to dispute the genuineness of their contract, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And what happens, so if a dispute is raised and it looks like the discussions will continue beyond the end date of the original contract, what happens there?
Well, we've determined that really it's status quo, so each party won't be prejudiced by the continuation of the contract past the end date.
So that makes sense in terms of, because the work, the employee will want the work to continue while it's being resolved, and the only thing that is to be determined is whether it's a fixed term or a permanent employment.
Yes, because we want it to only be genuine fixed term employment, and if it's that, then it should still continue.
So what happens if no dispute by the employee or VAPA is raised?
So the employee can, at their discretion, really accept that offer of extension.
Okay. Is there any other limits?
Yes, so I briefly mentioned earlier that 5 fixed term contracts is a limit, and also 5 years in fixed term employment.
And why is that?
That's because VAPA dislikes fixed term contracts, and it's important to note that the 5 fixed term contracts restriction applies regardless of the length of the contracts, and also the total length of 5 years. If they're separate contracts, they still all are added up together to match up to that 5 years.
Mm. Okay. What happens if an employee and or VAPA request discussions regarding extension of a fixed term contract, regardless of whether they meet those thresholds?
They're entitled to have discussions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's nothing stopping them still wanting to discuss particular arrangements, and they could have done that under the previous agreement.
Yes, correct.
So the fixed term clause still sounds quite complex. What is VHI doing to support health services?
So in addition to the podcast that we're just doing now, we're doing a guide, and we've been working on the guide with the reference group, heavily involved in that, which has been of great assistance. We're currently also consulting on VAPA with the guide, and what the guide contains is what we've covered on the podcast, also some examples, and there's also a template notification letter for services. So the only thing is that there is one issue that's still outstanding with VAPA that we're not sure if we are going to be able to resolve.
And what is that issue?
So that is about the 13 weeks that we talked about earlier. So VAPA has a view that if people are employed and break service even outside of the 13 weeks, that the 5 year restriction or the 5 fixed term contract restrictions still apply, notwithstanding that there's actually been quite a long break in service.
So they avoid the anti-avoidance clause?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what happens if that particular issue isn't resolved?
We will still be issuing the guide, but we'll have a clear statement in there where the parties are apart and where VAPA doesn't agree.
Sure. So in terms of the key messages for health services, what are they?
So for me, it's really about ensuring that health services have internal process to keep check of fixed term contracts to ensure compliance. So initial contracts not in excess of 2 years, that they have to be for reasons specified under the agreement, and that where appropriate, services need to comply with the notification process. And again, keeping track of the five fixed term contracts, how many that they have, and then also how long they've been in fixed term employment, taking into account those relevant breaks that we've described.
So it sounds like there's a lot of gain being made So moving from a complete prohibition to a process that the parties can go down in order to achieve with fixed term contracts what they need to achieve.
Yes, it's a step in the right direction. It's not where we wanted it to end up, but it's definitely a step towards it.
Certainly an improvement.
It is.
And is there anything else that you would like to highlight?
I think it's just really that the fixed term clause has been identified through the reference group as a matter that will go in our review cycle of what VHAA is doing this year.
Okay. Well, thank you, Emma, for joining me here today. I'm not sure whether you want some HP sauce or not, but thank you for your time.
I'll be right. Thanks.